is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, good day. It is the Lombardi Line. We've got Samich. We've got Mike Palm coming up. A busy hour. No way, no doubt. But quickly, as we say hi here on the Lombardi Line, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, per Schefter through Andy Reid. Michael, you mentioned these receivers. No practice today for Chiefs. Hardman, Kadarius Toney, and Juju Smith-Schuster, all no practice today. This is going to be a story as we get closer and closer to the Super Bowl.
I think it's going to be a huge story. Now, I don't expect them to practice today. I think they're probably all on rehab, and I'm not worried that they're not practicing on the Thursday 10 days out. I think it becomes alarming if they haven't taken any reps by this time next Thursday. Look, they're not going to be able to they're going to have to throw the ball to beat Philly. They don't run the ball well enough to beat anybody. You know, and they struggled once those receivers left, and there's nobody on their bench that they're going to bring in and be able to challenge Slay or challenge Bradford or challenge Maddox, you know, and it's going to put all the pressure on Kelsey, you know. So they need those guys. They need two of those three, you know, and I can't imagine that they can't. I don't know the extent of Smith-Schuster's knee. I don't know Hardman's, I think it was his pelvic bone that he hurt. I mean, I thought he was really hurt, but he actually got up. And then I never saw Smith-Schuster's knee. I didn't know how bad that, I never saw them look at it. So for me to make my medical diagnosis from my couch.
Yeah, same here. I've been putting a lot of thought into Patrick Mahomes. We'll talk about it over the weekend. But just, I mean, what a player like that does, it's just, it really is fascinating. And you, what do you have, 12 more years, 10 more years of him? He's had an amazing start to his career. Maybe we'll outline that over this weekend. Okay, let's get into this. No way, no doubt. So obviously in this segment, this is fun. We recap the biggest news items across the NFL. Michael Lombardi says, I disagree by saying no way, or I agree by saying no doubt. Let's start here. Sean Payton and Russell Wilson will make the playoffs in their first year together. No way, no doubt.
No way.
Tough one.
Yeah, that's a hard one. That's one of those 50-50 props. I lean towards no doubt they could make it because of Sean's ability to coach three-dimension and unify the team. And look, he's going to – this is not a team devoid of talent, right? So he's taken over a good team that has a great running back if he's healthy. And he's got to fix the offensive line. And it's a little premature to ask the question because I don't know the full staff. I don't know who his defense coordinator is going to be or who's going to be the offense. To me, who's his coordinator and who's his offensive line coach? That's what I need to know. And once I know that, but I would lean towards they'll make the playoffs. No doubt they'll make the playoffs.
Okay, next one up. I don't know if Elliot's trolling you a little bit here. Michael will be watching the first annual Pro Bowl games. No way, no doubt.
No way. Elliot knows me better than that to even ask that question. First of all, do you remember that show back in the 70s where they had all these sports celebrities and stars? What was it like? Like ABC had it, like Farrah Fawcett would come in and Lee Majors, and they had all these, like, it was like a celebrity star tournament. That's what it is. This is what this looks like to me. It's like, an 80s, 70s retro TV show that they're going to try to produce. What the concern I have is, first of all, we know Tyler Huntley's not a Pro Bowl player, and they're sending him to the Pro Bowl. Like, so he got through two touchdown passes. How is he a Pro Bowl quarterback? Like, don't tell me you're a Pro Bowler when you do that. You discredit the other guys. I don't mean to be knock Huntley, but nobody sees Huntley and says he's a Pro Bowl. Just because guys don't want to go, that doesn't mean – then we should have a B squad. Like, you're going to play, but you're not a Pro Bowl. Or how do you handle that? Like, there used to be – the brand Pro Bowler meant something. Like, if you go through my book – I've just been reading through the final edits of it, and every player I go over, how many Pro Bowls he's been to. Because in the 70s, it mattered. You know, there was a time when that was important. Today, it's irrelevant. This whole game's a made-for-television event, and teams have got to be nervous as hell. I mean, the Derek Carr went home because he didn't want to be put in position to get in trouble with the injury, the $40 million liability that were on the Raiders if he got hurt. But now he's going to play in the Pro Bowl. How about if he gets hurt in the Pro Bowl? Now they're stuck for $40 million. Like, how does that help the Raiders, help the league? You know, Josh Allen doesn't want to play. He's playing in some charity golf tournament. He's, you know, like, okay. So Buffalo gets an advantage because they turn it down. So somebody's got to go play in the game. And if he gets hurt, we're on the hook for $40 million. It makes no sense.
I don't know. I'm kind of excited for Sunday. Some storied events such as Gridiron Gauntlet, Kick, Tech, Toe, Best Catch, and finally the 7v7 flag football game, which is going to be played on a 50-yard field with 10-yard end zones in two 10-minute halves. So I'm kind of excited. It seems pretty serious. You've got the longest drive, a golf situation there on Saturday. Who was it? You probably know the player well. He tore up his knee. He was a Patriot on the sand there back in the day playing flag football in one of these events. Who was that, Brian?
Yeah, I forget. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh,
you know
gosh,
who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He's a good running back, too. He's very good. Hey, look that up for
me,
Dan.
It's
on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, I know exactly.
You know exactly
about.
Who it was. He was a tremendous back. We'll look it up and come back to it. But again, like you just, your point is well taken. I mean, the fact that you could potentially get hurt in something like this makes it too big of a risk. Okay, no way, no doubt. Tom Brady is telling the truth, Michael Lombardi. He is retired for good. No way, no doubt.
No doubt, no doubt. I don't think Brady is going to double. I think he gave this great thought. I think ultimately he decided that it was time for him to leave the game and spend time with his family. And I think that's, there's no doubt.
Okay. Next one. No way, no doubt. The Eagles' weak road to the Super Bowl will come back to bite them. We talked about this with Will Hill. No way, no doubt. The Eagles' weak road to the Super Bowl will come back to bite them.
No doubt. No way. How they got here is irrelevant. They didn't play bad. They dominated the teams they played. They didn't just win a game. They didn't just sneak into it. Like, they beat teams handily. They made it look easy. And every time you make it look easy, it's probably going to be a good thing. So, no, there's no way it's ever going to come back and haunt them.
Okay. There it is. Yeah, the Eagles, we talked about their schedule. Philadelphia's regular season strength of schedule ranked near the bottom of the league. Their playoff road has not been much harder, of course. The Giants and then an injury-riddled 49ers squad. Do you, speaking of the 49ers, best guess, what do you think they do at quarterback next year? It sounds like this UCL injury, pardon me, for Brock Purdy could be a long recovery. What's your best guess on the 49ers quarterback situation for next year?
I think they're in pursuit. I mean, Purdy, I read today, Patrick, that Purdy was talked about that he may need Tommy John surgery. And if that's the case, then he could miss a year. And if that's the case, they just can't hand the job to Trey Lance. They need a backup, because who's to say Lance can stay healthy, right? So I think they're in search of. I think the most sought-after position in the free agent market will be the backup quarterback. I think the fact that 70 players played the position this year, almost 70, was it 69, that played the position, I think it's going to benefit those players. I think if you're Jarrett Stidham, or if you're Cooper Rush, or you're a guy that played a little bit but played well enough, you're going to get paid. You're going to get paid more than you probably would have, because teams are going to need to say, look, we need these guys. We need it.
The answer, by the way, and it was horrible. So it was Robert Edwards, the Patriots running back. He tore three ligaments in his left knee, ACL, MCL, PCL. So this was after his rookie year where he rushed for over 1,000 yards. He actually escaped because there was talks he might have to have his leg amputated below the knee. Think about that. So that was from playing in a charity flag football contest there in 1998. So Robert Edwards is the answer to that. Probably stick on the side of caution for these little gimmicky events, I would say. That actually brings up those that are going to be playing in the 7v7 flag football game and all these different events coming up for the Pro Bowl games. Do you think there has to be some verbiage in the write-ups or in the contracts for some of these players that teams put together? They don't allow them to ride motorcycles in the offseason. Why would they allow them to get involved in these gimmicks?
You know, and I think a lot of it too, though, Patrick, is that, you know, the players used to get bonuses for going to the Pro Bowl. It was an achievement. You got a bonus for going to the Pro Bowl. And now, do you want to give out a bonus for being an alternate? Now, a lot of the bonuses, when you wrote the language, you wrote it as such that, you know, you have to be a first, a selection at the Pro Bowl voter. You can't be an alternate. But still, you know, there's so much liability. And I think one of the reasons they did away with the game was because of injury. Right? They didn't want the players to get hurt. No, but the game was kind of a touch football game anyway. You know, when they played it in Hawaii and the guys were having fun. And, you know, fortunately, nobody got a lot hurt. So you got to protect the players, but you got to protect players' investment. Their value is so great right now. I mean, you're talking about players that can make a large sum of money. They can't risk getting hurt over there.
Yeah, the Pro Bowl game had turned into this very awkward, where there was smoking and joking going on during the game, and then you kind of get into that middle area where there are some players, I think Sean Taylor, you remember, there are some players that are actually going to take it serious because they're super competitive, but for the majority, they're just going through the motions. And when you find yourself in that mid-ground, that's where somebody gets hurt.
No doubt. And you got to be really careful. I mean, you can't let that affect, you know, you can't, it's too much money at stake now. It's too much money for that. And you got to be really careful about it. And you can't take that risk, especially in light of the cap, when that limits you.
Yep, 100%. Oh, okay, there it is. No way, no doubt with Michael Lombardi. When we come back, we've got Samich, and then we're going to get to Mike Palm. Samich has got some props for you. A couple of running back props.
He's got
an America the Beautiful prop coming up as well in a play on the Super Bowl from Mike Samich coming up next here on the Lombardi Line. Then Palm's Pressing 3, Mike Palm returns, which we always look forward to. Make sure you check it out, vsin.com/subscribe to become a pro. We're back with Samich next here on the Lombardi Line.
Featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, BetMGM, the sponsor of the Lombardi Line, also the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com or download the newly reconfigured app. If you're in Vegas, stop by any MGM property. Bring your state-issued ID. You're ready to bet within minutes. You have to be 21 years or older. And if you have an issue, it's 1-800-GAMBLER. Michael Lombardi there. I'm Patrick Maher. This is the Lombardi Line here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It's Thursday. We go Mike and Mike. Mike Samich first, then Mike Palm. Mike Samich, professional handicapper. So a good lineup today. First off, hi, Mike. Hope you're doing well. We've got a general discussion about the line movement. We've got props you've already bet. We've got America the Beautiful, and then we'll get into a pro tip from Samich. Let's start with the general discussion, and that is the line movement here on the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, just phenomenal movement right after that Chiefs game closed on Sunday. We saw Kansas City open up 2.5 at most books. And within 30 minutes, it flipped to Philadelphia -2.5. All of those bets are coming from fairly sharp people. I don't know many people who recreationally bet that are dropping, you know, $5,000, $10,000 right away on the Super Bowl. So it shows you that from professionals, there was, A, some concern about the Kansas City injuries and everything we saw pile up in the game. And then, B, that they felt that Philly as a short favorite was probably the right side after seeing both those two championship games. So really interesting to see the line move that much. At this point, the markets are pretty mature. You're seeing six figures as the maxes at most of the online sportsbooks at this point. So I would be surprised if you see too wild of a line movement here. It looks like you're going to see Philadelphia go off as a short favorite in the Super Bowl. But when you're attacking this, I think if you're a Kansas City bettor, you probably want to bet right now. The one thing that could move this line over the next week and a half or so is going to be the injury reports we get back from Kansas City. Obviously, you've got some issues in the wide receiver room. Three of their top receivers are injured. But the injuries I'm really interested in are actually on the defensive side of the ball. I think both Gay and Snead are absolute keys in this game for Kansas City. If they don't have either of them, it's going to cause some real problems in A, stopping the run with Willie Gay, and then B, having three rookie cornerbacks out there in the secondary in the Super Bowl, not necessarily something you want if you are this Chiefs team.
Yeah, I think that's the key. But let's start with, I was shocked, Mike, that the line opened up in favor of Kansas City. When you just watch the two games, yeah, I know Brock Purdy got hurt, but the Eagles' defensive line dominated when they had to dominate, and they were able to do what they needed to do against a great San Francisco defense. But the Chiefs looked like they were hanging on for dear life, especially in light of the injury. So I was surprised it opened up in the Chiefs' favor. It didn't seem like that made much sense. And then I think this line is also going to be determined by the receiver injury, because if he doesn't have whether it's Hardeman, he really needs Tony. Tony can make this thing go when he's healthy, and he certainly needs Smith-Schuster. Tony's the wild card in the offense because he gives them some juice that they lack, that they've lacked. So to me, I could see this even going more towards Philly if those injuries turn out to be where one of those, two of those players missed the game.
That's going to be the real key, right? Is where do these injuries move and how does the line react to it? I don't think we ever see Kansas City plus +3. I'd be very surprised if it would have to be either Kelce or Mahomes with some negative news there to ever get to Kansas City plus +3 in my mind. And if it ever showed up Kansas City plus +3, I would be betting that right away. They need those wide receivers to be able to move the football. As far as the line opening, I wasn't shocked it opened it at Kansas City as a favorite, although 2.5 was surprising to me. I would have had this more at 1.5 or 1 for Kansas City based on my priors heading into the weekend. So with no adjustments from the championship games, I would have had Kansas City as a slight favorite in this game. Clearly, there were some adjustments there, right? I don't think that you can – you're probably upgrading or leaving Philly the same, but with what happened in that Kansas City game, you're probably keeping Kansas City the same or dropping them a half point, even though they won and covered against Cincinnati. So we saw a lot of that professional money roll right in because I think a lot of priors were similar to mine, which was Kansas City -1 or -2. But that game, that line clearly changes once you saw those two games. And the other key part is – there's not a lot of key numbers between -2 one way and -2 the other. So if they see lots of money or lots of bets from respected bettors rolling in, they're going to move that line as quick as possible because they don't mind giving up 0 and -1. It's hard for the book to get middled in those numbers.
Okay, Mike. Good job. Mike Somich, of course, RacingDudes.com, professional handicapper here on the Lombardi Line. Props you've bet already. Let's jump into these and why bet them so early. Let's go.
Well, I mentioned the injury to Willie Gay. That, to me, is a monster one for the Kansas City rushing defense. And this Kansas City rushing team has not faced a top 10 rush offense yet this year. In fact, the best rush offense they've faced is number 14, which is San Diego. And I could make a pretty good argument San Diego is not the best top 14 rush offense either. When you watch how Philadelphia attacks other teams and what specifically their read option does to the linebackers, it is amazing. Specifically, you saw it a lot in that San Francisco game where when you run play action, it's often to freeze the linebackers for a step or two. When Philadelphia runs read option, it actually freezes those linebackers for a step or two. It's what allows Philadelphia's offensive line to get to the second level. I think Kansas City is going to have a ton of trouble with that. I'm a little concerned around Hurts' injury, so I do think the running backs get a little more action here in the read option game. So I went over Gainwell rush yards and over Miles Sanders rush yards already. If there is the injury to Willie Gay and he ends up out of the game, then both of those numbers should go up quite a bit. And if it stays as is, I still think there's an advantage to both of those totals since they are pretty low right now. You're able to get under 20 yards on Gainwell, and Sanders, I believe, is sitting right around the 55 or 51.5 point. So I like over on both of those for rush yards.
You know, I think I like – see, to me, I think if you're going to play the props, you got to visualize the game, right? You got to say, okay, how did the Eagles win this game? And I think the Eagles win this game by limiting Mahomes' ability to beat him. I mean, he's the best player on the field. Make no mistake about it. He tilts the field one way or the other. He's on one leg, and he beat the Bengals. So, like, how do we do that? Well, we even know this. When he has the ball 22 minutes, he can still score 35 points. So you got to limit his possessions. Cincinnati, in their three wins, held them to 27 possessions, or 28 possessions, less than 10 per game. And the only way you limit possessions is by able to control the football with the run game. Now, Cincinnati, for whatever reason, my man Zach Taylor decided to rush it 17 times. I don't know why, but we'll get to that later. But I think that's got to be in play here. And if you're going to run, then it's a Sanders-Gainwell game. And I would agree, logically, that sets up for what you're talking about.
Yeah, I would expect Philadelphia to come out and run the ball. I actually really like the Philly team total over rushing prop. It's not available yet, so I can't really give it out right now. But that number should fall between 135 and 145 yards for the total team rushing for the game. If we're able to get that in that range, I'm going to be playing over there as well. I'm concerned about Jalen Hurts' injury more than almost anyone in this game because he did not look right throwing the football in that San Francisco game. And you saw after he had 11-yard run in the fourth quarter, him stand up and wince with his shoulder. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see even a more run-heavy action here from Philadelphia. And I would expect the running backs to get the majority of the carries, especially early on in this game. They're going to want to save Hurts for later in the game. If it is close, that's when you're really going to start running him. So I like the overs across the board on the rushing side. And I agree with you, Michael. This is how they're going to win this game. It's to limit Kansas City's offense, be able to run the ball down their throat. And if that's the game script you like, then these overs should be good.
Okay. You got exotic here. America the Beautiful. What are you doing with this, Mike Somich?
I knew you guys would both like this one. So America the Beautiful is going to be the second song sung on the broadcast. Right now, they've got props up for who, what player you will see first, as well as what player will that team be from. I love playing Kansas City here, minus 125 to be the first player or coach shown during the song. And the logic is pretty solid here in my mind. First off, there's three derivative markets for this. You have Kelce as a minus 175 favorite over A.J. Brown. You've got Mahomes as a minus 145 favorite over Jalen Hurts. And you've got Andy Reid as a minus 165 favorite over Nick Sirianni. Yet you're getting the Chiefs at minus 125 when they clearly have the three most star players and or coaches that are going in the game. Generally, when the television networks broadcast these games, they're going to those star players or coaches. To me, minus 125 is an underlay when you're getting the three best or most visible people in this game on the same team, and they're all laying bigger juice. So I don't play these like crazy. I'm not a huge funky prop guy. But when I see something like this, I'm willing to risk a half unit or a unit odd to have a little fun in the pregame ceremonies.
I love it. I love it.
Boy, so,
are you on the coin toss at all? Are you on the coin toss at all?
I never bet the coin toss. Pro tip, if you're betting the coin toss, do it for whoever's paying for the food with someone in the room. You can lay even money on both sides versus minus 102 or minus 105, whatever the book's offering.
Important to note that Mike Somich is happily married with a child when talking about him talking derivative markets and who's going to be shown during America the Beautiful first. Quickly before we leave, because he must have an understanding wife, especially with all the horse racing he gets involved in. Quickly before we say goodbye, just got about 45 seconds. Pro tip on the Super Bowl. What do you got?
This one's important. If you're betting all year, you got to remember the Super Bowl is just one game. I see so many people that are $100 bettors betting $500, that are $500 bettors betting $2,000. It's not smart. Just, you don't have to bet more on this game just because it's the Super Bowl. Over the long run, this is one of 200 or 300 data points in the year for you betting. If you want to diversify or have more on the game, diversify yourself in the prop market. Play the team and a total. But just don't pick one side and just hammer it just because it's the Super Bowl. If you have a big opinion, by all means, go after it. But you got to remember, this is one data point in a year-long process. So don't go crazy.
Great stuff. Great stuff, Mike. Appreciate you. RacingDudes.com. Go check out Aaron and Jared over there as well. Mike Somich, good luck with the move as well if we don't talk to you before then. He's got a long drive from North Carolina to California coming up this weekend. Next, Mike Palm joins here on the Lombardi Line.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, of course, the big game means big plans for VSiN. VSiN will be in the middle of the action and broadcasting live from Radio Row in Phoenix with athlete celebrity interviews and our experts breaking down the games. You don't want to miss any of VSiN's coverage. You can huddle up and watch Follow the Money, the Lombardi Line, VSiN's Final Countdown, and VSiN Primetime all live from Radio Row starting next week. For betting splits, expert picks, and big game props, head to VSiN.com. That's VSIN.com. Okay, Lombardi Line, as we welcome you back, it is a Thursday. That means Palms Pressing 3. Bon Vivant there at Circa, and of course, VSiN host Mike Palm joins. Now, I love the commercial, by the way. We should talk about this. Great job. The acting chops continue just to get refined every year, Mike Palm.
Yeah, thankfully, I didn't have to have 4 hours of makeup for this one like we did when I played Walter back in the day when Circa was first launching the book. But we're excited about the squares again this year, and I said, you know, we thought about how do we launch this and really grow it. I mean, we grew it from year one to year two by 3X. So we want to continue to boom this in Iowa and Colorado as well, and soon to be Illinois. But, you know, why don't we go back and throw back to the old days when you ran these big boards and Super Bowl parties? And I remember up at the D Ballroom on the 12th floor, the Detroit Ballroom, I would run three boards, a $25 board, a $50 board, a $100 board. It would be me and one girl, and you had people coming up. I want two on the 25, one on the 50, one on the 100. this, that, pick that, you know, and then you're picking a square. You have no idea what numbers you're going to get. And then we draw the cards, the numbers, and people mad they got bad numbers. It's so much easier right here on your phone. You go and you look. I want 7-0 Philadelphia first quarter. What's the price? 5-1. You click it. You can bet up a dollar anywhere to up to pay $100,000. And people love it. They, you know, they, some of them want to cover all the odd numbers. Some of them pound the common numbers, the 0, 3s, 4s, and 7s. So it's so much more convenient. And you have the power of your bet now. It's not random.
I love it. I love it.
You mentioned, you texted us the Battle of the Network Stars. We were talking about, of course, the Pro Bowl. You know, when you texted that, the first thing that came to mind was Darryl Green versus Willie Gault. I remember growing up obsessed with watching those two race. Do you remember that, Mike Palm?
I remember Farrah Fawcett, like Michael said, was in it. It was, you know, it was a lot of fun. ABC, NBC, and CBS. I want to address, besides that point, something Mike Somich talked about, which was the opener for the Super Bowl. And we opened it Chiefs -2.5. Now, you have to understand that it's not opened in a vacuum. And you have to understand each book has a different future liability, where ours is very dramatic this year because we took a very large bet on the Chiefs at 10-1 in August. So there's almost a $4 million variance between the Eagles winning and the Chiefs winning. So, you know, we also need Eagles money here. So we shaded it a bit to the Chiefs and, you know, 2.5 went to 2.5 the other way within 5 minutes. So that's how many people snatched up the Eagles at plus points, and now it's kind of settled back in at Eagles -1.5.
Mike, had you not had the 4 million on, or the 10-1 on the 4 million exposure, and the 10-1 on the Chiefs, would it just say that wasn't there? Would you have opened this up as an Eagle favor? Because to me, when I watched the two games, and obviously, I have power rankings on both teams. I would have opened Philly as the favorite if I was a book.
I think our guys would have opened KC maybe one or a pick. They were really surprised it went all the way to 2.5. But in my mind, I'm different, right? I have a different eyes than they do and a different theory. I mean, I believe that Philadelphia should be favored here. I think you have two compromised quarterbacks, actually, but the team around Hurts is simply better than the team around Mahomes right now.
Yeah, to me, it was the game. Like, to me, it was when I watched Kansas City, and this can all change based on 2 weeks, but I felt like they were the boxer on the rope struggling to hopefully get the fight over. And if the punt is not punted down the middle of the field, which is the most absurd thing you can do in that situation, then they get it, and that game goes to overtime, and I think the Bengals win it. But once again, that little mistake that, you know, it's not so important for Zach Taylor to punt it out of bounds or to get Mixon on the field or to block, to run the ball to Donald, not away from. It's those little things that cost you. And this is 2 years in a row. It's cost them a chance to get there. I think they win it at overtime. I really do. I thought the Chiefs were barely hanging on, which is why I thought Philly was going to be the favorite.
I agree. There's a lot of plays in that game that you could say things would have been different on one play. Officiating certainly played a role. You know, Kansas City gets the ball at the Bengals 40 with 2 minutes to go in the first half, up 13-3.
Unbelievable.
It's shocking to me they couldn't at least get a field goal and be up 13.5. Instead, 3-and-out punt, and they end up McPherson kicks the field goal. And so instead of being up 17 or 13, you're up 7. It was a huge swing in the game.
It was the game. At that moment, that they controlled the middle late. If they just get a first down, if you just come out and run your best run, he's not going to call a timeout. They had 3 timeouts, too. So they have 3 timeouts at that situation. And if we get one first down, we're going to kick a field goal. So the Kansas City took the wind, right? So they were going to – I think they might have been kicking into the wind, so it might have taken 15 yards. But it didn't matter. If they get one first down, they're going to be in scoring position. And yet they come out and throw 3 passes. Like, what's your best run here, you know, against their – out of nickel or whatever? They were running a loaded front, which they really spent a good – I mean, they played 5 defensive linemen for most of the game to stop Kansas City from running. I think Lou Amoromo felt like, look, if Mahomes is going to beat us with his arm, he's going to have to move around, which he couldn't do. So he stopped the run. But I don't understand why they did that. And it's Andy's able to slide away in his game management. you know, three and out, and they get it before the two-minute warning. I mean, they ran a play before the two-minute warning hit.
He struggled. You remember the end where I thought they lost the AFC Championship game last year was the end of the first half with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
He had a terrible end of the first half against the Texans earlier in a playoff game. He does struggle with the middle eight, but he's never cherished the concept of making sure his team has the last possession of the first half.
No, he doesn't care about possession. He just cares about scoring. And he just cares about scoring. And so, what, you know, it's like, okay, here, and Luke could say, well, we didn't execute. Yeah, I know. Mahomes had a guy open, he missed him. But if you run, if you get the game down to the 2 minute warning and you take those 22 seconds and eliminate them, and then you come off and do it again, I mean, you got a chance to at least, you're going to get a yard. You're not going to lose 4 yards. You're not going to stop the clock. I mean, at that point, the clock needs to become your friend.
Circus Sports is kind of the destination now, and there's going to be a ton of people flying in for the Super Bowl. So walk us through Sunday, and you'll be there. Not just Circus Swim, but right behind you in the pit there, just valuable seating. What's it going to be like on Sunday at Circus Sports Super Bowl Sunday?
You know, Patrick and Michael, we really have five parties between our properties. Let's start down the street at the D, where years ago we used to have our party for our invited players at in the ballroom. We do that retail now. $175 a person for all you can eat and drink. And we sell that out every year, $400. A lot of the same groups come every year. Then right behind the D at the outside downtown Las Vegas Event Center, we'll get close to 6,000 people at that outdoor party. And it looks, you know, 60 the high should be pretty nice. We've really had luck with the weather. Outside the year of New England and the Rams, where it was so cold, we've really had nice weather for Super Bowls for a decade. So that's a tremendous party there. There's a bunch of man caves, people buy tables, 8 tops, 10 tops, 12 tops. It sells out. All the space sells out. It's a free party. You can walk in on your own if you want to, but you're not guaranteed any seating. Then we have a bunch of food trucks out there. Then up now on the ballroom here, the Galaxy Ballroom on the third floor of Circa, that's where our invited player party will be. And we'll have between 650 and 700 players up there. Behind me, every seat is sold. In the sports book, all the booths, all the recliners, all the side seats, they're all sold out. They have been for a couple weeks for the Super Bowl. And then we'll have 3,000 people outside at Stadium Swim where you can either have your own cabana or your own poolside box, your own day bed. Or if you buy a GA ticket, it also includes a buffet that we have for the GA and then a big fireworks show that we started doing last year. We'll do again this year.
Oh, incredible.
Patrick, we better put our request in. We're late. Mike, we're going to be
like
joining you out there. Yeah, we got to find a way to get in there.
Well,
go ahead, Mike.
You're going to do your show from here on Sunday?
Yes, sir.
We're going to be there, Patrick and I, Saturday and Sunday.
Find a spot that doesn't compromise Patrick's agoraphobia. That might be tough. But...
You got a bed I can crawl under?
Yeah.
it's true. It's logistically, I can't even imagine how you guys. And by the way, I looked ahead. It looks like it's going to be beautiful weather, mid-60s, sunny.
Yeah, very hopefully. Nice. It's getting into the 60s almost every day. The people don't understand. They talk about March Madness. It's a little hot at March Madness. Super Bowl is usually perfect weather.
Yeah. No, it's going to be awesome. And if you haven't been.
Here we come.
I'll be there hiding under the recliner. If you haven't been to that area where the D and Circa and Derek Stevens properties are outside there on Fremont, I mean, it is literally the biggest party that you'll ever find. It's about as much fun as you can have in Vegas. So make sure you check it out. CircaSports.com. When we come back, Palms Pressing 3. I've peeked ahead. We've got a good batch today. Michael Lombardi doesn't know what's coming.
I don't look. I'm not looking.
Nope. That's next here, Lombardi Line.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN. Featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, fellas, BetMGM, better said. The king of sportsbooks unleashes the spirit of Vegas. Make sure you check it out. It's the best loyalty program in the game. You get rewards every time you place a bet at BetMGM.com or on the app. It's newly reconfigured, so make sure you check it out. You get those points. You add them up, free bets, airfare. It's awesome. 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue, 21 years or older. Be back. He is Mike Palm. He's hanging out with us here on the Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi, Patrick Maher. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm going to get out of the way here. It's Palm's Pressing 3. Michael Lombardi has no clue what's about to hit him. Mike Palm, the floor is yours.
Michael, the Bengals front seven got pressure on Mahomes all game, and they pale in comparison to what the Eagles will bring to the table between Riddick, Cox, Graham, and Gang. Can the Chiefs overcome this? If you are Andy Reid, what is the game plan given Mahomes' limited mobility? Kansas City will not beat Philadelphia with the type of performance we saw versus Cincinnati, a performance that was aided by multiple officials' calls and a huge home field advantage.
Yeah, I mean, that's the great question to start it off. And if you remember the Super Bowl 2019, Andy Reid against Tampa, remember he lost the left tackle Fisher in that game. And all through that week of preparation, I thought, well, Andy's going to do something different to help out his backup left tackle against this really good rush of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And guess what? Never happened. He didn't do a thing. He didn't help him at all. And so I think that's the issue of the game, and that's why I thought Philly should be the favorite in the game. I don't know if they have an answer. They're not going to have an answer because I agree with your question. Riddick is better than any one of the ends on Cincinnati. You know, Asiah was – I mean, I know he gets blamed for the one play. He was dynamic. He's a really good player. Sweat and him are similar. They can run. It's a matchup nightmare for Kansas City. And, look, we know this. Just think about this for a moment as you before you make your bets. Tennessee, with Malik Willis at quarterback, got a first down with 5 minutes to go in the second quarter. Did not get another first down until the second half. One first down the remainder of the game. And they got the game to overtime because they were able to rush four and pressure Mahomes. It took two runs by Mahomes, if you remember. It took two long runs by Mahomes in that game for them to win the game. I think this is the worst case scenario for Kansas City because their offensive line, as I said after the game on my podcast, and I've said it on the show, they're overpaid and overrated.
Interesting. A lot to derive for bettors in that answer as well. Number two, Mike Palm.
Michael, some factors not being discussed for the Super Bowl. First, how will playing indoors in Glendale affect this game? Let's not forget that the college football semifinal was played there, and both Michigan and TCU were slipping and sliding all game. We've also seen this the case for many Cardinals home games. How do you factor that into the handicap? And secondly, could we see a Philly home crowd in Glendale similar to what we saw with Seattle when the 12s invaded East Rutherford?
Well, I think we will see a lot of Eagle fans there, no doubt. But Kansas City fans travel, too. And we saw a ton of Kansas City fans in Las Vegas when they played at the end of the year. In fact, that stadium looked like it was filled with red. I think there'll be a split crowd. I think the field, you know, we played a Super Bowl on that field, one, the Malcolm Butler play in 14. And that field was fast. That field was a fast track. There wasn't a lot of slipping on that field. Now, I think, obviously, they have plenty of time to get it handled. And it all comes down to what cleats your players want to wear. But if the field is slower, if the field gets slowed down a sense, I think it helps Kansas City. It slows down their pass rush. It slows down Philadelphia's pass rush just a little bit to help them. That's the game. The game is Philly's D-line versus Kansas City's O-line. Everybody's going to focus on Mahomes, and he's certainly tremendous. And he moves around and makes plays. But when you watch the three Cincinnati games, all of them in a row, and now you watch the fourth, Cincinnati's defensive line was the dominant factor.
Great point, Mike Palm, about Michigan and TCU playing on that slip and slide. Very interesting. The third Palm's pressing three, bless you. The third Palm pressing three is going to take a little bit here. So go ahead, Mike, lay it out for him.
Well, you know, our leader, Bill Adee, loves the speed round. So let's pander to him a little bit here. With Tom Brady off the market, Michael, let's play the speed round with musical quarterbacks. Tell me who will be the starting quarterback this fall for the Packers.
I think Jordan Love. I think that, I'm reading tea leaves here. I when you read the tea leaves, I think Green Bay wants a divorce. I think Green Bay wants him to retire, or they want him to say he wants to keep playing. I think Green Bay's at the point where they want a divorce. Now, don't, you know, they, you know, going to Jordan Love, I don't know what that is, but I get the sense that they had have had enough of dealing with this off the field.
The 49ers.
I think it's going to be Trey Lance, or it's going to be some other player in the draft. I think if Brock Purdy has to get a surgery on his elbow, they're going to have to draft one. And don't rule that out.
The Jets.
Aaron Rodgers, because I think the Jets are the only team desperate enough to be willing to pay a high pick for 1 year. Because here's the question with Rodgers. Is he going to play more than one season? Am I going to give up a high pick for a one-year rental? Look, I know rentals can get expensive, but there's a, you know, you got a chance, you got to add value to it. I'm going to guess the Jets are in desperation mode.
The Raiders.
I think Jimmy Garoppolo or Jarrett Stidham.
The Panthers.
To be determined, draft a quarterback.
The Buccaneers.
To be determined, draft a quarterback.
The Saints.
To be determined, draft a quarterback.
The Titans.
To be determined, draft a quarterback.
And finally, the Dolphins.
Tua. Tua. I mean, he's the greatest quarterback in the history of football. Just ask Miami. Don't worry about his durability. He's fine. It's all good.
So that was impressive on both sides. Now, you mentioned Bill A.D., our fearless leader. He's known as the Fast and the Furious around VSiN circles. What is it about the speed round that he loves so much, Mike Palm?
I think he likes for Michael to be on the spot and have to make a rapid answer instead of getting to consider while I do my soliloquy before the before asking the question. We have time for another one here because Michael did that so efficiently. How about this, Michael? Bonus time. If Ian Rappaport was correct that Sean Payton was actually the Broncos' third choice after Harbaugh and Ryan, which would actually make sense given the financial and draft compensation to get him. However, they were staring down the barrel of David Shaw running into the line of scrimmage on fourth and one, so their hand was forced from Peyton's perspective. He's now generationally wealthy, so you can't fault him for grabbing the bag. But in a division with Mahomes, Herbert, and a decent Raiders roster, saddled with crappy draft capital and a washed-up Russell Wilson, was Peyton just too impatient to wait it out a year, or was Staley and McCarthy retainings the push that forced him back in? Who's the big winner here? How does this play out? And do you think Russell Wilson completes his contract in Denver?
I think the big winner is Peyton because he finally has an owner that he has a relationship with one-on-one. I'm not sure he was the third choice. I do think when Penner described the job, he described Sean Payton. He described Jim Harbaugh. I don't know if he described D'Amico Ryans in that. I don't think Russell Wilson's going to play out his contract. I think this will come to an end. I think he'll get the most out of Russell. But remember, Peyton's ruthless. Peyton wanted to draft Patrick Mahomes when he had there. He was really upset he couldn't get to Mahomes. He got beat out. Let's not forget, the Buffalo Bills traded that pick for Patrick Mahomes to Kansas City. He wanted Mahomes. I think he's ruthless. I think Wilson won't live his contract out.
Yeah, felt a little desperate. I agree with Mike Palmer. I thought he was going to sit a year, Michael. I thought we'd see Peyton get hired in next year's cycle.
I think this is about the owner. I don't think it was desperate. I think he felt comfortable with this owner, and I'm not sure you could say that about a lot of owners. And Jerry, you know, Jerry's on a cost-cutting element. I mean, Mike McCarthy's going back to calling plays now because he paid Dan Quinn so much. That, it, like, why am I paying Quinn this? Why am I paying Kellen Moore this? Hey, Mike, why don't you call plays?
Not you, Palm. McCarthy.
Mike could do it.
Yeah, Mike could do it. What can't you do, Mike Palm? Well, that's the question. What can't you do?
A lot. Like, host a show. Now, we do have lurking outside the studio, Chris Felica, the Bear, a former ESPN fame.
Careful.
Now he's moved to Fox. He's getting his money for, remember, he won Matt Youmans' Friday Circa Invitational, that football contest. So he's here to collect his $15,000. He is the Circa champ, and we congratulate him.
That's awesome. Congratulations, Barron. He's a Jet fan. He's probably going to place a bet on Jet futures. He's going to take all that money and turn it right back into Robert Salai, Coach of the Year, Super Bowl Jets. I could see it all happening. Mike, just stand there and collect it.
I think he's eyeing a Romanian soccer under or maybe the Young Boys in Sweden.
He will. I love it. He's going to hit the race book as well. Yeah. Chris Felica, congratulations. Mike Palm, once again, a 10 out of 10. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thanks, Mike Palm.
Have fun in Phoenix, boys.
Okay, thank you very much. And we'll see you in Vegas as well. Michael Lombardi tomorrow morning here on the Lombardi Line. We'll see you then, okay? Dan Miller, thank you. Big Bets is coming up next.